This is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8, Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the multiple net controls this evening. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all short-time stations, will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at scarsvoip.com. That's Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra Victor Oscar India Papa.com. I am just one of your net controls for this session. My call is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, and my name is Dave. I'm located in Newport, South Wales, here in the United Kingdom, currently with a temperature of 65 degrees Foxtrot, 18.1 Charlie. Now, prior to starting, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If there is, please call now. Okay, hearing any no emergency or priority traffic. Now, this is the monthly First the Informational Net, Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speakers. Now let me advise all stations connected that this net might be recorded for future presentation on our webcast as a podcast. All stations participating will be a part of that recording. Good evening, everyone. Now this evening, we're diving into a story that began with a simple message sent between two computers and ended up reshaping how the world communicates. From its modest origins in the 1970s to becoming an ever-present part of our daily lives, email has evolved into both a powerful tool and a persistent challenge. This is the journey of email, from humble beginnings to inbox overload. So let's move on with the program. Our first narrator this evening is young Declan, 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, who's in the shack with me at the moment here in Newport, South Wales. So I know Declan's ready, so we're just going to change seats. This is GW8SLL. Declan, over to you, my friend.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. So, let's get this show on the road with the introduction, a thread that connects us all. In a world saturated with communication platforms, social media channels, and instant messaging apps, email remains one of the most enduring and universal tools we use daily. It is easy to take it for granted, checking inboxes while sipping coffee, skimming subject lines between meetings, or sending off a quick reply before bed. But behind this simple act lies a rich and transformative history that has reshaped the way humans connect, work, and live. Email is more than just a digital letter. It's a protocol, a culture, a business tool, and for many, a source of stress and productivity alike. Born in the early days of network computing, email predated the World Wide Web and social media by decades. It evolved from a niche messaging method among academics to a global infrastructure, delivering over 300 billion messages per day. This story is not just about technology. It's about how we've built habits around communication, how companies adapted to and exploited new possibilities, and how societies came to depend on a technology that few fully understand, but nearly everyone uses. From its invention in the 1970s by a quiet engineer experimenting with ARPANET, to the mobile revolution that brought our inboxes to our palms, to the looming questions of privacy, etiquette, and AI-powered automation, email's journey is one of unexpected resilience. Even as newer forms of communication emerge, none have fully displaced the humble email. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, student, digital professional, or simply someone with a cluttered inbox. This in-depth exploration of email's origins, rise, transformations, and future will give you fresh insight into the invisible infrastructure that powers the modern world. The birth of a digital messenger in 1971. The story of email begins in the sterile, fluorescent-lit halls of BBN Technologies, a Massachusetts-based contractor working on cutting-edge computer science for the U.S. Department of Defense. It was here, in 1971, that Ray Tomlinson, a soft-spoken, imaginative engineer, forever changed communication. At the time, users could only send messages to others logged into the same mainframe computer, using programs like SMD-MSG or SendMessage. Tomlinson was working on ARPANET, the U.S. military-funded network that allowed remote computers to exchange data. He ingeniously modified the file transfer program CPYNET and merged it with SMD-MSG, allowing users to send text messages across a network to remote machines. To denote the recipient system, he picked the at symbol, then a rarely used typographic character to separate usernames from hostnames. The syntax user at host was born. The first test message was something arbitrary, like QWERTYUIOP, a meaningless string to confirm the system worked. Tomlinson himself described the act as something no one had asked him to do. But this modest experiment triggered a communications revolution. For the first time, people could send messages across physical and temporal boundaries, laying the groundwork for all asynchronous digital communication. Email's impact was far greater than it first appeared. In the early 1970s, computers were massive machines shared by multiple users through terminals. Connecting them created the foundation for a collaborative digital network. Ray Tomlinson's invention of email introduced a human element to that system, a way for individuals to exchange messages, updates, and information directly from one machine to another. It marked a turning point in communication, signaling the beginning of networked interaction and paving the way for the modern internet. The early days, from labs to offices in the 1970s and 1980s. As ARPANET expanded through the 1970s, so too did the popularity of email. It quickly became the most widely used application on the network, surpassing even file transfers. Engineers, researchers, and university staff found in email a way to bridge distances and synchronize efforts on papers, projects, and programming. Email became the backbone of collaboration for the scientific and academic elite. During this period, the foundation of modern email was being written. In 1977, the RFC 733 document proposed the structure for email messages. This was refined in 1982 with RFC 822, which introduced standardized fields like to, from, subject, and date, ensuring consistency across systems. These documents were crucial in transforming email from a loose collection of independent tools into a unified, interoperable system that multiple systems could rely on and build upon. Protocols evolved alongside the mail transfer protocol MTP, and then the simple mail transfer protocol, or SMTP, allowed email to hop between machines and eventually domains. SMTP, proposed in 1982, became and still is the core standard for sending emails. On the receiving end, protocols like POP, Post Office Protocol, and later IMAP, Internet Message Access Protocol, allowed users to download or manage mail from servers. Meanwhile, universities and large institutions were crafting their own internal systems. The US government adopted email on its internal networks, and private firms like IBM developed proprietary messaging solutions like PROFS, which is a professional office system. Lotus Development launched CC Mail, and Digital Equipment Corporation released All-in-One, creating a path for email's integration into business environments. These systems often mirrored physical mail structures, reinforcing the idea that digital messages were a true evolution of office communications. Interestingly, in 1978, a 14-year-old programmer named Shiva Iyadurai developed a software system for the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, which replicated all key functions of interoffice mail: inbox, outbox, address book, and folders. While debated in historical context due to semantic definitions of what constituted the first email system, it showed how early email mimicked and eventually replaced the bureaucratic paper system. By the end of the 1980s, email was becoming indispensable in high-tech and academic environments. Governments and corporations began seeing its value for both internal coordination and external communication. The groundwork had been laid for a revolution in personal and corporate communication. Now that brings an end to my segment, so I would like to ask for any check-ins or comments on this segment of the Thursday Information Net.
VK2 Delta Yankee.
Okay, I recognize VK2DY. Go ahead, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, this is VK2DY, Robert in Northwestern Sydney, where it's currently 9 degrees, which is 49 foxtrots. So definitely a coolish winter morning here in Sydney, but the sun is shining. Anyway, thank you for the overview of email. I remember when I was first studying in university and we had these things called bang paths. I don't even know how they worked anymore, but you had to specify every computer that you went through because there was no auto routing and there was no domain names. And so you just specified the path that your email was supposed to take. Hard to believe that's all in my lifetime that we've gone from that to what we have today. But anyway, it was just sort of an interesting recollection. One of my advisors was part of the group that came up with domain names. So it was sort of interesting to watch that development come take place. Anyway, thank you again for taking my check-in. VK2DY, back to me.
Okay, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Thank you very much there, Robert. Greatly appreciate it. And first of all, yes, indeed. Nice sort of temperatures for where you're at the moment. Very interesting indeed to see the progression of email. Obviously, my lifetime has been quite significantly shorter, but I do still feel like email has come a fair way in my lifetime, which will be here about closer to the present day. But yes, it's very interesting indeed to think how fast, in terms of society, how fast we've gone from the bare bones basics that I have been mentioning, to what we have, to even what we have had up to this point, to have SMTP, which is a very prominent system in email communication to this day. It just shows how early the modern foundations have been being laid down. Anything further? VK2DY from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Yeah, VK2DY here again. Again, thank you, Declan, for your presentation. VK2DY, back to now.
Okay, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel, and thank you very much to you as well there, Robert. Do we have any further check-ins for this segment of the presentation before we proceed to the next narrator? Okay, no further check-ins are here. So, with that being said, the next narrator is a voice that you will have already heard on this Thursday Information Net. It is, of course, Gulf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, and I believe he will pick up from the 1990s. Stand by, we're switching seats again, and the and the TIN shall continue.
Okay, this is GWA-7S, like musical chairs in this shack. Name is Dave. I'm located, we're the same place as Declan in Newport, South Wales, here in the UK. Okay, I'm going to continue with the next portion of tonight. Well, this evening's for you in the US. Tonight for me was, but I should say morning. Anyway, let's get on with it. Right, this is all about going mainstream with the 1990s boom. Now, in the 1990s, email exploded from a specialist tool to a mainstream necessity. Several critical developments enabled this leap. First one was the public internet. The World Wide Web's debut in 1991 brought millions of new users online. ISPs like AOL, Earthlink, and NetZero offered not just web access, but also personal email addresses. This democratized email, shifting it from a niche tool for tech-savvy individuals and academics to a household utility. And then, of course, there was free webmail services. In 1996, Hotmail launched, offering free browser-accessible email to anyone. Its viral tagline, "Get your free email at Hotmail," helped it explode in popularity. Microsoft's later acquisition of Hotmail further boosted its reach. And of course, we had Yahoo Mail followed in 1997, bringing sleek interfaces and large storage limits. And then we had the improved interfaces. Email clients like Eudora, Pegasus Mail, and Outlook Express offered user-friendly graphical environments. AOL's iconic "You Got Mail" sound became part of pop culture, even inspiring a major Hollywood film. Corporate adoption. Microsoft Exchange in 1996 and Lotus Notes earlier in 1989 brought centralized email to the enterprise. Email replaced inter-office memos, faxes, and increasingly even phone calls. Businesses discovered email's power for customer service, internal coordination, and external marketing. People began forwarding jokes. Didn't we all do that? Inspirational messages and chain letters. It was a new social medium. Attachments, once revolutionary, became standard. JPEGs, PDFs, and Word documents were zipped across continents in seconds. The inbox became a digital archive, a calendar, and contact book all in one. But with this newfound ubiquity came a dark undercurrent, unsolicited marketing emails, or spam. Now, by the late 90s, spam was beginning to overwhelm inboxes. The lack of sender verification and ease of automation meant that bad actors could exploit email's openness. Users and developers realized that email, while powerful, needed boundaries and filters. Now, of course, the rise of spam and inbox fatigue between 2000 and 2010. The 2000s brought a paradox. Email was essential but exhausting. Spam skyrocketed, eventually accounting for over 85% of all email traffic at its peak. Some inboxes become nearly unusable without strong spam filters. Now, spammers exploited the open nature of email, sending messages en masse using compromised computers in botnets. Users were barraged with promotions for pills, fake job offers, phishing scams, and more. Identity theft and fraud became serious concerns. The response was multi-pronged. First of all, there was Bayesian filters, which were advanced filters using probability models, learned user behavior, and message patterns. This made it possible for spam detection systems to adapt and improve. Blacklists and whitelists. Mail servers blocked known spammers and allowed trusted senders. These lists were managed both manually and algorithmically. Then, of course, came SPF, DKM, and DMARC. These authentication protocols aimed to verify that message actually came from their claimed senders. They added technical integrity checks that made it harder to spoof emails. And, of course, legislation. The 2003 CAN-SPAM Act mandated opt-outs and accurate headers. It wasn't a cure-all, but it laid the legal groundwork for digital communications. The EU followed shortly with more robust GDPR and e-privacy regulations in the next decade. In parallel, workplace email culture reached a tipping point. Always-on connectivity thanks to laptops and especially the BlackBerry meant professionals were reachable 24/7. Now, this led to a phenomenon known as email overload. Employees began spending hours daily managing overflowing inboxes. Now, Inbox Zero, a concept coined by productivity expert Merlin Mann, advocated for managing messages rigorously to regain focus. Email clients introduced filters, flags, snooze features, and later AI-powered sorting. Gmail introduced labels, tabs, and priority inbox, helping their users triage the flood. Still, many users found email to be both vital and stressful. Notifications disrupted focus, and the expectation of rapid replies blurred work-life boundaries. Studies linked email overload to burnout and decision fatigue. Email was no longer just a tool, it became a lifestyle. Now, the mobile shift. Email in your pocket between 2007 and 2015. Now, with the arrival of the iPhone in 2007, followed by Android devices, email became truly mobile. No longer chained to desktop clients or office networks, users could send and receive messages from anywhere. Mobile email maps were streamlined, touch-optimized, and deeply integrated into operating systems. Business users had long used BlackBerry devices for mobile email, but iOS and Android brought rich HTML formatting, image previews, push notifications, and seamless syncing with calendars and cloud storage. Gmail, Outlook, Yahoo, and other providers launched native apps, while third-party clients like Spark, Edison, and Airmail gained traction with power users. The line between work and life blurred even further. Email was always there at the dinner table, during vacations, and on public transport. This spurred debates around digital wellness, work-life balance, and the psychological toll of being perpetually on. Now, in response, mobile clients introduced features like Do Not Disturb modes, Scheduled Send, custom swipe actions for quick triage, voice integration with assistants like Siri and Google Assistant. Mobile first became the norm. Email wasn't just mobile friendly, it was mobile native. Okay, this is GW8S said. I've come to the end of the of my section here. Is there anybody like to check in with any comments or questions from GW8SZL?
Kilo 2 Hotel America.
Okay, I've got the happy hour, that's fair, that's K2HA on the list. Is there anybody else? Okay, it's just you and me there, Fred. K2HA, GW8SZL. Go ahead, my friend.
GW8SZL, Dave, thank you very much for reading out that very interesting information about email and how it's pretty complicated, especially in verifying that the email came from a person that supposedly the address is. Well, it's just like on telephones now, they can spoof the telephone number, and so I'm sure the addresses on emails are also spoofed sometimes. I don't know how that's handled. Okay, thank you very much for the information. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8SZL. Yeah, that's very true about spoofing phone numbers. In fact, probably been a year ago, might have been a bit longer than that. They spoofed their local doctor surgery email telephone number, and that caused a bit of chaos, to say the least. So everything's possible these days, especially with AI technology and stuff like that as well. Okay there, Fred, do you have anything further? GW8SZL.
Okay, this is Fred, K2HA. I apologize for being late to the party here. Our ham radio meeting at the local eatery ran late. and I didn't realize if the net had already started. So I'll have to listen to the rest on the podcast. And thank you very much, and it's great hearing your voice, and we pray everything goes well with you and the Hamily. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from GW8-SNL. Okay there, Fred, and all noted, and we're looking forward to putting in our answers to your RAGCHU net questions there as well. Okay, I'm looking for Chief. That's Roger, W4RFJ. I can't see you on the marquee, and you wasn't there at the beginning, so I think he's probably not going to be here. So, Whiskey, but I'm going to call anyway, because there's plenty of places you can hide on the digital side of things, and they're not actually visible on the marquee. So, Whiskey 4, Romeo, Foxtrot, Juliet. Are you with us there, Chief? From Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra, Zulu, Lima, with the first information net.
KE5AOS.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg, from GW8SZL.
GW8SEL. Yeah, Dave, you want to read the first half of his part up to, like, the cultural impact and changing language, and I'll do the rest of it through to mine.
Yeah, no problems at all. I was going to actually do it all, but that's fine. Thank you for the assistance there. So I'll go up to cultural impact and the changing language of email. Okay, let me just go back down a little bit. Okay. Good part to continue from as well there, Greg. Let me just reset. Okay, this is GW8S10L continuing with the first information net this evening. Okay, the next section is the AI arms race and the modern inbox from the 2020s to the present. Now, in the 2020s, email has evolved into an intelligent, integrated communication platform that's smarter, safer, and more contextual than ever. Leading providers like Google and Microsoft have embedded artificial intelligence into nearly every aspect of email. Smart Compose and Smart Reply. These tools finish sentences or suggest quick replies based on context, saving time and reducing effort. Priority and focused inboxes. Algorithms highlight important messages while demoting bulk mail, ensuring that users don't miss what's essential. Then we have auto-categorization. Emails are automatically filed into tabs, primary, social, and promotions, minimizing clutter and improving visibility. And then, of course, we've got scheduling and snoozing. Messages can be sent later or temporarily hidden for better timing and attention control. Grammar, tone, and clarity suggestions. Integrated tools help users write more effectively and professionally, detecting tone mismatches or unclear phrasing. Now, at the enterprise level, email is now part of a broader ecosystem. Gmail integrates with Google Calendar, Docs, Meet, and Drive. Microsoft 365 ties Outlook into Teams, SharePoint, and OneDrive. APIs and extensions allow customization, automation, and integration with CRMs, task managers, and more. Workflows are being automated through low-code tools triggered by email events. Privacy-focused alternatives like ProtonMail, TutanOta, and Skiff have grown in popularity, offering end-to-end encryption, anonymous sign-up, and minimal data retention. They attract journalists, activists, and anyone wary of surveillance. Now, despite the rise of chat tools like Slack, Microsoft Teams, and WhatsApp, email remains the formal standard for documentation, contracts, invoices, and customer service. Its durability lies in its universality. Anyone can send anyone else an email, regardless of platform. It's platform agnostic and time-tested. Yet, challenges persist. Phishing and business email compromise, that's our BEC, schemes continue to evolve, often exploiting human psychology more than technical flaws. Now, companies now invest in employer training, phishing simulations, and advanced AI threat detection. Workplaces have begun experimenting with communications, hygiene-restricting email, after hours, encouraging async messaging and adopting email 3 days. The cultural norms around email are changing. Even the platform remains central. Now we're going to have a little look at email in the workplace. collaboration, and the cloud. Now, the modern workplace reshaped email once again. With the rise of cloud-based productivity suites, email became a central node in a larger digital workflow. Google Workspace, formerly G Suite, and Microsoft 365 turned email into a launchpad. From within Gmail or Outlook, users could create documents, schedule meetings, join video calls, assign tasks, or search cloud storage. At the same time, email was de-emphasized in some scenarios. Internal cloud collaboration shifted to tools like Slack, Microsoft Teams, and Asana, which offered faster, more contextual communication. However, email remained dominant for external communications, legal documentation, client-facing support, formal approvals, and contract delivery. Enterprises integrated CRMs like Salesforce, project managers like Jira, and customer support platforms like Zendesk with email, automating notifications and workflows. AI suggested meeting times, responded to routine inquiries, and flagged risks like angry customer tones or non-compliant language. Even as other tools gained traction, email's interoperability and performance preserved its value. This is GW8S, Zeno. KE5 ALF from GW8S. I think I stopped in the right place, Greg. Over to you, my friend.
Carrying on for the program, I'm going to start off with cultural impact and the changing language of email. Over five decades, email has transformed the way people write. Its blend of formality and informality give rise to a new kind of language, concise, functional, and often void of greetings or signatures. The subject line became an art form. Writing in all caps became taboo. Sign-offs like best or regards became cultural markers. Emails, once rare, gained limited acceptance. Tone became a constant worry. Was that email too blunt, too long, too short, passive or aggressive? Email also changed professional etiquette. Reply all disasters became a reoccurring trope. BCC misuse created awkward blunders. Delayed or no responses triggered anxiety or misinterpretation. Academics study email, delay, hierarchy. In some cultures, email is used formally. In others, it's nearly as casual as texting. The language of email reflects border digital etiquette shifts and power dynamics. On the email and privacy, battling surveillance and data breaches. As email became ubiquitous, concerns over privacy and security grew louder. Early email protocols were designed for openness, not confidentiality, making them vulnerable to interception and hacking.
We'll be ready in a minute.
Through the 2000s and 2010s, numerous high-profile data breaches exposed millions of email accounts, revealing passwords, personal information, and sensitive communications. The rise of government surveillance programs leaked by whistleblowers showed how email traffic could be monitored en masse. This sparked a privacy movement among users and technologists. End-to-end encryption, service like PGP, pretty good privacy, allows users to encrypt email content though it required technical knowledge. Privacy-focused providers, ProconMail, founded in 2014, and Tutanote, offered users friendly encrypted email with zero access policies. Encrypted transport, protocols like StarTILS, encrypted emails in transit to prevent eavesdropping. Still, email privacy remains a cat and mouse game, balancing usability, compliance, and security. Organizations struggle with protecting data while meeting legal retention rules for users. Phishing scams and social engineering remains top threats. We're going to take a break here for a second and see if there's anyone that would like to check in or has any comments before I continue. Okay, seeing none. This is KE5AOF, continuing on with the program. Email's role in social movements and politics. Email has been more than just communication. It's been a tool for social change, activism, and political campaigns. In the early 1990s and early 2000s, email listservs and newsletters allowed grassroots organizations to mobilize supporters quick and cheaply. activists use mass emails to spread awareness, coordinate protests, and share petitions. Political campaigns adopted email early as a fundraising and outreach tool. Think about Howard Dean's 2004 presidential run, which relied heavily on email during grassroots fundraising. However, email has also been a vector for misinformation, spamming political propaganda, and phishing campaigns designed to disrupt the democratic process. The duality of email in politics exemplifies its power as a communication channel. It can inform, engage, and unite, or confuse, divide, and deceive. Email and accessibility, that's making communications inclusive. From the beginning, email has held potential to make communications more accessible for people with disabilities. Screen readers interpret emails for blind or visually impaired users. Keyboard navigation supports those who cannot use a mouse. Captioned video and transcripts become standard attachments. Email's asynchronous nature helps those with cognitive or speech impairments communicate on their own schedules without the pressure of real-time conversation. Standards organizations work to improve email's accessibility by defining markup languages like HTML, email's best practices, that support screen readers and alternative input devices. Despite this progress, challenges remain. Complex formatting, spam, clutter, and inaccessible attachments still hinder many users. Advocates continue pushing for better tools and universal design. Email and education, revolutionizing learning and communication. Email transformed education by enabling faster, clearer communication between teachers, students, and administrators. In universities, email replaced physical memos, allowing professors to distribute assignments, announcements, and grades instantly. Students coordinated group projects and research collaborations across continents. During the COVID pandemic, email became even more critical as schools shifted to remote learning. It served as a backbone for distributing resources, links to virtual classrooms, and parent-teacher communications. Educational platforms integrated email notifications for assignments, feedback, and alerts. Some systems now combine email with learning management systems, LMS, like Canvas and Blackboard, automating much communication. Email remains a key educational tool, blending traditional communication with modern digital infrastructure. The future of email, reinvention or resilience? Email, will it survive another 50 years? That's a valid question. Tech giants continue to innovate. Google's AI-powered summaries digest long threads. Microsoft's Copilot writes and rewrites emails using natural language prompts. Startups are building invisible email layers that categorize, summarize, or auto-respond without user intervention. At the same time, younger generations lean towards real-time communications, DM, group chats, voice notes. Email is seen as formal, slow, or antiquated by some. Yet email's resilience lies in its fundamentals. It's open, not owned by one company. It's interoperable. Gmail can talk to Outlook, ProtonMail, or Zolo. It's archival. Nothing gets lost in a stream. The next frontier may involve decentralized blockchain secured email, context-aware email summarizations, emotional aware tone correction tunes, and all AI agents managing inboxes fully on your behalf. Whether it evolves into something unrecognizable or remains stubbornly familiar, email story is far from over. Let me get a nickel here. Email's legacy of connection and complexity. From a scrappy taste on ApparNet to the beginning heart of global digital communications, email has defied obsolescence. While it has been challenged by instant messaging, collaborative platforms, and AI-driven productivity tools, it endures because it is open, universal, and adaptable. It is where contracts are signed, ideals are shared, promotions are earned, and scams are sprung. It's both the joy of connection and the ban of modern overload. It is a mirror of our digital selves, structural, searchable, and archival, and yet emotionally powerful. An age of fleeting content and disappearing messages email adores as a lasting record, a thread woven through time. Despite the clutter and constant flow, we continue to press send because at its core, email remains a deep human form of communications. Here are some milestones in the history of email. In 1971, Ray Tomlinson sends the first network email. In 1977, RFC 733 outlines email formatting. 1982, SMTP introduced. 1996, Hotmail launches. 2004, Gmail launches with 1 gigabyte of storage. 2007, iPhone redefines mobile email. 2015, Inbox by Gmail pushes smart sorting, which was later disconnected, continued. And 2020, the rise of II email features and privacy-centric providers. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are headed towards the close of tonight's program. So do we have any further check-ins, questions, or comments before we close for the evening? Okay, thank you one and all. This has been SCARS VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our SCARS VOIP website by visiting SCARSVOIP.com. This is KE5AOF closing the program for this evening. KI5AOF clear.